Brethren, I'm so blessed. Listen, God has blessed my soul starting last night. I know Brother Craig asked, he said, will you be okay to come to the prayer meeting tonight? And I said, yes, yes. My heart has, I have desired this camp since Brother Craig invited me, and I'm so happy. I've never been to Grace Community, and I've visited with some of you. I know a few of you, but most of you I've never met. But I've had a delight to meet many of you tonight, this evening, as you arrived, and you've been a blessing to my soul already. Just seeing the love of Christ in your eyes, and seeing your desire to know another brother that you don't know, but who has the spirit of the same God that you know. And beloved, that's what attaches us, and that's what connects us. It's profound to go to a different place and to see different brothers, and you look into their eyes and you can see the spirit of Christ in them. And you know what I'm talking about when you talk to someone and your spirit bears witness with their spirit. And my soul has been blessed exceedingly to meet each and every one of you. And I pray that I've been asking God, oh God, please meet with your people. Please magnify your name. Father, please bring us into close proximity to you. Father, please show us that conduit of heaven that we might be guided into your presence. And that's been my prayer, that we would be ushered into the presence of the high and lofty one which inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. And he said, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a humble and contrite spirit. And beloved, that's the spirit that I've experienced here among you. And I appreciate so much to come and be able to be humbled enough to come and not just fellowship with you, but to speak to you. And so I pray God's help. I'll have you go to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be in the center of the Sermon on the Mount. It is, of course, there's no chapter divisions there, and the Lord Jesus comes to this part of the sermon where he's going to teach us about three things that should be secret things about us. Perhaps not so much secret to the Lord, not at all secret to the Lord, but secret to those that are around us. He starts that chapter by talking about when we do our good works or do good deeds for someone or doing alms for someone. He says, don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing when you do them. Don't sound a trumpet as the hypocrites do, that they may be seen of men. And as Jesus is preaching this, you think of the religious leaders of that day, the scribes and the Pharisees. Everything they did to be seen of others, that they may be exalted by others. And Jesus said, no, that's not the way you're to do things. And the second part of this passage is in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And before we read, let's lift up our voices. Pray with me, brethren, that God would speak to us. Father, please help us. Oh God, we call upon you for your help as we open up your holy word. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to us, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would use me, your unworthy servant, Father. Help me to be serviceable to your kingdom. And Father, help me, Father, to be able to communicate your will to your blessed people, Father. I ask, Father, for your grace, Father, for your help, for your enablement, Father, for clarity of thought, Father, to open up, Father, your holy word. Lord, I thank you so much for simply who you are to us, Father. I thank you and I ask for your blessing, and I ask it in the highly exalted name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew 6:5, Jesus says, and when you pray, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say unto you, they have their reward. And let me just stop there for a moment. Let me just say that last night I was so blessed to be in the prayer meeting at Grace Community. But I'll share with you a challenge that I have in my own spiritual life is praying in public and praying for the ears of my Heavenly Father only and not for the ears of those that are listening, so to say. So, beloved, when we do pray in a group like this, we are praying together. If I'm praying, you're to pray with me to help me in prayer. If you're praying, I am to pray with you. I am to keep my thoughts focused on what you are praying for and help you in prayer. But I'm just confessing to you my heart. It's been my experience that I have to struggle to shut out the ears of everyone around and not to pray for your ears, but to pray for the ears of my Heavenly Father, to pray for God's ears, to seek His presence and to try and block out and as much as possible, beloved, to pray in secret, actually when I'm in public, to pray to my Father. And so the culture of the people in that time, I believe, is that that's what they knew of prayer from the scribes and Pharisees. That's what they saw. They saw these orations of these Pharisees, these religious elitists praying to be heard of others. And Jesus said, if that's the way you're praying, you already have your reward. You have your answer. You basically got what you wanted. You got the accolades, you got the compliments of those that were around you. That was such a good prayer, brother. And so that's what they received. So Jesus moves on. He says, but when you pray, he says, when you pray, go into your room, go into your secret place. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, which is in the secret place, and your Father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. Do not use many words as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. And in a moment, we'll read on to that prayer and that model of prayer that the Lord Jesus gave us. Beloved, prayer is the secret conduit of heaven. Prayer, beloved, and specifically here, secret prayer, is an essential for your Christian life. It's essential for your sanctification. Beloved, it's essential to be coupled, I believe, with your Bible devotions, your personal private Bible devotions. I believe that when you read the scriptures and when you go into the scriptures and you read God's holy word, it should be coupled with you asking God, Father, help me to see what this means, Lord. Help me to understand what you're saying to me, Father. And so I believe it should be coupled with your Bible devotions. But beloved, secret prayer is so important because when you descend, when you go into secret prayer with your Heavenly Father, there's nobody around. It's just you and your Heavenly Father. And so, beloved, that's where you may say things to your Father that you wouldn't say in public, that you wouldn't pray in public, that you wouldn't pray for the ears of others. Beloved, it's where we may be real with our Heavenly Father. I believe there are times when we pray that even in our private time that we're not completely honest with God. And beloved, in our secret prayer life, when we rise and we pray to our Heavenly Father, that's where we should tell Him all. Beloved, I think there is where we should pray without a filter. We need to tell God all. We need to confess our faults, our sins to God, and we need to tell Him all. And I believe God wants to hear those full confessions of when we confess our sins before Him, when we pray to our Heavenly Father. I believe He wants to hear our anxious cares. I believe He wants us to cast our care upon Him. I believe He wants us to tear open our bosoms before Him. You know, we all have good brothers and sisters in Christ, and we share things with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and many times we'll cast our cares upon our brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll tell a brother about our anxious cares and our concerns. And what's troubling to me sometimes in my own life is when I'll tell a brother or sister about that, but I won't tell my Lord, when I won't tell my Father in heaven. Beloved, listen, we are united to God by faith in Jesus Christ. And so if we don't have a personal and intimate and private and secret prayer devotion time with our Lord regularly, every single day of our lives, beloved, we ought to find that place of secret, intimate, and private prayer with our Lord. Give ear to my words, O Lord, the psalmist says. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shall I hear in the morning. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. Beloved, I believe the time to rise up and pray to our Lord in secret is in the first parts of the day. I believe our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example of that. We know that the scripture teaches us that he would rise up a great while before day, and he would depart into a solitary place, and he would pray unto his heavenly Father. And think about that, beloved. Think about the Lord Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man. Think about him going and praying to his heavenly Father. And if he needed to go and pray unto his Father, if he needed to have that time daily for what was before him, how much more do we need that time every single day to pray to our Father, which is in heaven? It is essential, beloved, that we find that place of prayer and that we pray to God as our Father. Let me show you something in John chapter 17. Bless my soul. In the Lord Jesus' high priestly prayer, John chapter 17 and verse 20, at this point, the Lord Jesus has transitioned from praying for his apostles to us, beloved. You can see there in John chapter 17 and verse 20, he said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. And listen to this, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and hast loved me and loved them as you have loved me. Jesus calls his God his Father. He calls God his Father. And in John 19, when he rose from the grave and he saw Mary there, he told Mary, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. That just blessed my soul to consider that we call our God, our Father. And that is a term of endearment that God has given to us. Having been adopted into the family of God, beloved, we have a heavenly Father. You know, you hear people in the world talk about God this and God that, and they use God's name in vain, and they don't love God. And beloved, it's not wrong for us to call God our God, but God is our heavenly Father. He is my Father, which art in heaven. And that brings us to that place. But before that, turn to Psalm 63, or if you're there, you can just listen. Psalm 63. Listen, if you're in Christ, you are united to God by faith in Jesus Christ. And that is a union, that you are one with Christ. And if you have that union with Christ, beloved, how can it be that you don't commune with God in secret. Beloved, if we're united to God by faith in Christ, then that union should be communicated in our prayer life, in our communication with God, in our communion with Him. Beloved, there ought to be that real union with God, and it ought to be experienced. It ought to be real. It ought to be intimate in our lives. There ought to be communion between you and God that no one else knows about. You ought to have that relationship that is between you and your Father alone. It ought to be a desired place. It ought to be a deliberate place. It ought to be a place that you find often. And listen, this is just me. I can pray driving my vehicle and I'm all alone. Is that secret prayer? Well, yes, it is. But my secret prayer, and I'm talking for me, my secret prayer needs to be undistracted. I need to be in a place where I have all outward distractions. I need to be in a place where I don't have to think about driving. I need to be in a place where I don't have to think about doing something else. I need to be in a place where I can focus my attention on my Heavenly Father. And beloved, when we do that, that is going to assist and help us. Listen, you can't live the Christian life without prayer. Listen, as breathing is necessary for your physical life, prayer is necessary for your spiritual life, your communion with God, your knowing God, and not simply going to secret prayer to ask God for things. Yes, we go and we ask God, but beloved, to go to secret prayer to know God. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, he prayed for the Ephesians. He said, I pray for you, I cease not to give thanks for you and to pray that you would know the depth and the length and the height and the breadth of the love of Christ, that you would know this love that, as he says, is unknowable. It's like to know the love of Christ, which is beyond knowledge. And beloved, that's what we need to seek in our secret place with the Lord. It's a place where we complain to God. It's a place where we plead with God. It's a place where we cry out to God. It's a place where we tell God things that we would never tell anyone else. Where we complain to Him and we tell Him, I don't understand, Father. Listen, I'm the recipient of one of the most wonderful things that a human father can experience, and it's the salvation of his 34-year-old son. Amen. It's the answer to a secret prayer. And of course, others were praying for him as well, but beloved, there were times, and I'm just going to tell you, there were times in my secret prayer life for my son, he was so antagonistically against God, he hated God, and he took his anger out on me because I raised him in a Christian home, and he hated God, and every time he called me, he would be in a rage against God. And there were times, beloved, that I actually prayed imprecatory prayers concerning my own son. And I told the Lord, I said, Father, my son does not deserve to be saved. He doesn't deserve your salvation. He deserves to be judged. And I got to a place where I would seek my Lord in prayer, and I'd say, I stopped believing for a time that God would save my son. And it was, I'm telling you what my secret prayers were. Of course, God has answered what I thought was impossible. And it was in my unbelief. Beloved, I'm telling you, go to your secret place and tell God what's on your heart. Tell Him the truth. Tell Him when you don't believe Him. Listen, there's times when we go to secret prayer, beloved. There's times in our Christian lives where we come to a place where I came to places where I didn't have eyes to see. You know, Jesus spoke in parables to the Jews, and the apostle said, why do you speak to them in parables? He says, because they don't have eyes to see or ears to hear, but you do. But beloved, sometimes the Lord has shown me there's been times in my life, you know what? I don't have eyes to see and I don't have ears to hear. And you know what was the missing factor, I guess I could say? Is I wasn't pouring out my soul to the Lord. I wasn't being real with God. I would go to prayer and I would pray. And sometimes we go to prayer and we pray. We know the words. I don't want to go to prayer and just pray the words. I want to pray to the person of my Heavenly Father. I want to pray to my Father and my God. I want it to be real. I want the felt presence of my God. And beloved, that's what the Lord is still teaching me. He's teaching me to pray to Him, to commune with Him. But beloved, that's a road that every one of us, you as men, that's a road that you need to walk alone. You need to find that place where you commune with your Heavenly Father, you yourself. I was going to take you to Psalm 63. I'll just read it to you. I love the Psalms. I would encourage you. I try best I can to read a psalm a day. As we're in Psalm 63, I think of Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart fails. And listen, that's where I find myself, where my flesh and my heart is failing. And that's where I must find my God to be the strength of my heart and my portion. And beloved, that's where God began to work. And when I cast those cares upon Him, and I knew when that happened. It was like Hannah's prayer. You know Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel when she was in bitterness of soul, when Eli thought she was drunk in the temple praying. She was moving her lips and she was praying in secret. And Eli called her out. He marked her mouth. He said, put away your wine. And she says, no, I'm not drunk. She says, I'm in bitterness of soul. And I've poured out my soul to the Lord. Beloved, that's secret prayer. It's pouring out your soul. And listen, I'm going to tell you, for me, it took a little work. Because listen, in my young life, I was so full of pride. I grew up an arrogant man. Arrogant, full of pride. And even now, I find myself trying to shed that wicked pride. And so that I would be honest with God and humble myself before God and actually tell God the truth. Tell God the truth in your prayers. Tell Him what's really going through your mind. My brother at home, he called it praying without a filter. I mean, tell God. Tell God's all that's in your heart. Pour out your soul to Him. That's what Hannah did. And when Hannah finished praying, I love the end of that prayer. It says, she got up and her countenance was no more sad. She cast that care upon the Lord. Psalm 55, cast your care upon the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee, and He won't suffer you to be moved. But then in Psalm 63, O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your glory, to see Your power. Because Your loving kindness is better than life. And that's what God began to show me in my prayer. I want to commune with You. I want to know Your loving kindness more. I want to know more of Your love. I want to know more of the love of Christ. I want to know more of Your compassion. Father, I want to think right. And that's another thing the Lord taught me, because I would find myself going out in the world and being among sinners and being in the world and thinking wrong thoughts. Looking at people and judging them by what I see. And I said, Father, I'm tired of thinking wrong. I'm tired of thinking wrong thoughts. I'm tired of thinking the way I shouldn't think. I want to think. I want my mind to be renovated. I want to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. I've had wicked thoughts, Father. Wicked, terrible thoughts. And so please help me. And even back to concerning my son, when he called me on the phone, and I'll tell you, the Lord saved him and his wife, both of them, in December. He called me on the phone, January 20th. He called me on the phone. We have an elderly gentleman, Holden Wentworth. He comes over. We feed him twice a week, and I bring him home. And the phone rang, and I see my son's caller ID, and I always get a little anxious when I see his caller ID because what had been happening for so long. So I'll go in the other room, and I'm on my dresser, and I'm kind of leaning, and I show her the phone. I said, "It's James." And she says, "Well, tell him you call him back." And I went, "No." And I wrote down, "God save James." I'm writing down on there, and she goes, and he began to talk to me and tell me how the Lord had brought him to the end of himself. And I'm just going to tell you this. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but he opened to Proverbs chapter 1. I gave him a Bible a long time ago. He opened to Proverbs 1. He read Proverbs 1. "Turn you at my reproof. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. But you have called, and I have called, and you've refused. I've extended myself, and you've basically shunned me." And he says, "So when your calamity comes, I'm going to laugh." You know that passage? He said, "Dad, I read that passage, and God wasn't laughing at me. God wasn't laughing at me." And he said, "Carol and I have trusted God." And listen, beloved, I struggled for the next day or so to believe that. And I had to go to my place of prayer with my Lord, and I was at, "God, is it real? Father, have you really saved my son?" And so we flew out to California, and beloved, I'm confident that God has saved my son and his wife from their sins, from his rebellion against God. And beloved, I can tell you tonight that I'm the recipient of God's answer to my prayer. Amen. And listen, the fulfillment of that answer to prayer, it just brings to mind the time of struggling in my secret place. And beloved, I will tell you, pray, pour out your soul to the Lord. And listen, I don't know about for you, that took a little time for me to actually really pour out your soul. You know, some folks are really private folks, and you talk to them, they don't really let you in. And sometimes I think we're like that with the Lord. He knows it already. Your Heavenly Father he knows what things you have need of before you ask him. He knows already. So tell him all. Tell him everything. Tell him what's on your heart. Tell him what's on your mind. Confess your unbelief to him. Wrestle with God. And I remembered Genesis 32. I thought Jacob, he prevailed with God. God says, as a prince, you have power with God. You've prevailed in prayer. Beloved, refuse to give up in prayer. Don't faint. Be like the widow the widow that went to the unjust judge. Keep going to your Lord and calling out to your Father in heaven. Pray to him. Plead with God. Complain to God. Confess your sins to God. Thank God. Beloved, go to your Heavenly Father and immerse yourself in his goodness, in his compassion, in his love, in his mercy, in his kindness. You know, the Middle Eastern religions, they teach you to meditate. You empty your heart of everything. Beloved, not us. We fill our hearts. We fill our hearts with our God. And so, beloved, I would encourage you, when you pray, and I think that should be our primary prayer, if I could say that. The times in which we pray most should be the times when no one else sees us except our Heavenly Father. The prayer that no one else knows about but our God and our Heavenly Father. That should be the principal time of our prayer. And I will tell you, I think it's so very important that it be the first part of the day. I think the example of the Lord Jesus speaks volumes. He rose up a great while before day, and he went out into a solitary place, and he prayed. And beloved, I think he's our example. I think the morning time is the best time. Now, I'm not saying, I mean, listen, I just think the morning time is the best time. It's the beginning of every day. Jesus went out and he prayed every day, I believe, and he went to his Heavenly Father, and he asked his Heavenly Father to prepare him for what was before him. I would have loved to heard those prayers from our Heavenly Father. But then I'll just close, and I'll read you Matthew chapter 6. And in this passage has become alive to me, and it continues to become more alive to me. I was raised Roman Catholic, and so we used to just recite this by rote. I can remember we'd say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We just kind of go on. It meant absolutely nothing. But beloved, it is one of the sweetest pastures in all of the Word of God. And it is the Sermon on the Mount. In my mind, it's the centerpiece of the Word of God. It's the Lord Jesus preaching. And he says, when you pray, or after this manner, in this manner, therefore pray. In Luke, he says, when you pray, then pray like this, "Our Father." And beloved, those words melt my heart. He is my Father. I'm adopted into the family of God. God is my Heavenly Father. I am his child. If you're in Christ, you're his son. And so he is your Heavenly Father. I had an earthly father, but he is my Heavenly Father. And I am to cry to him. God's given me the Spirit in my heart, the Holy Spirit, whereby I cry, "Abba, Father." And beloved, that needs to be us, to cry out to our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Listen, God's name is his person. There is no greater name than our Father in heaven, in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And this next part, "Your kingdom come." Father, may your kingdom be enlarged in my own heart. And Father, I pray that you would go forth and conquer the souls of my family, of my brothers and sisters' family, of those friends that I work with. Father, expand the borders of your kingdom. Go forth conquering and to conquer. Thy kingdom come. O Lord, continue to expand your kingdom in our midst. Thy kingdom come. Your will, Father, not my will be done. And God has helped me now more and more to know, Father, let your will be done today in my life, not my will. And this is how he ends it. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, not mine. Thy will be done in my life. Father, if this is happening to me and everything goes sideways today, well, it was thy will, not my will. And so, Father, help me to submit myself to your will for this day. Help me to submit myself gladly to your will. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so help me, Father, to be sanctified in what you send into my life today. Help me, Father, to be prepared. Listen, it's so important for me, beloved, to seek the Lord early in the morning, because if I don't and I get turned aside sideways and I get hit with a side wind, I will not do well. I need my Father. And listen, that's probably the centerpiece of our prayers, that we come to our Father as one who needs. I need God for every moment of the day. Amen. I need my Heavenly Father. I need his grace. I need him to help me before I engage my tongue. At the beginning of this sermon, it says Jesus sat down and his disciples came unto him, and the multitude was there, and Jesus opened his mouth and began. Beloved, when Jesus opened his mouth, it was always perfect. It was always perfect, his words. I'm far from that. I need my Heavenly Father to help me as I go into each day, that not my will would be done, but his will would be done. I come to this, give us this day our daily bread. In the physical sense, I don't know what it's like to pray, to ask God to give me sustenance for this day. I don't know what that's like. I thank God for what he has given me. I live in a land of plenty. I have all that I need, but I still need my God to give it to me. And so give me that, Father, and give me the spiritual bread that I need. Feed me with the manna from heaven. Because, beloved, we need that spiritual food. So give us this day our daily bread. Forgive me for my debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive me, Father, for my sins. And this is another searching point. I need to make sure that I'm not harboring a grudge or anything against any of my brothers and sisters, even a secret one. The secret ones are worse. And, beloved, search your heart. The secret sins are the worst kind. And the reason is because nobody else knows about them. It's better that your sin be known by a brother or a sister and they can come and tell you and correct you and admonish you. It's worse when nobody knows and you harbor it and you keep it. And so it brings my awareness to forgive me, Father, for my debts as I forgive those that have sinned against me. Lead me not into temptation. Help me, Heavenly Father. Help me. Lead me not. Let me not fall into sin and deliver me from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then it's noteworthy that Jesus goes back to that request, that supplication. For if you don't forgive those that have sinned against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you for your trespasses. And he goes back to that. And so that's significant in my mind. It's so important that we understand that every sin is against God. And for us as children of God that have been saved from our sins, for us to harbor our sins and to hold on to our sins, it's worse than the sinners in their sins, because here I am as one that should know that, and I am one that should confess and forsake that sin. And so those that cover their sins shall not prosper, but those that confess and forsake them shall have mercy. And so, beloved, I pray that God would help each one of you. I pray that he'd help us all to be able to find our secret place daily, to go to our Heavenly Father, to pray to our Heavenly Father in secret, not just to ask him for things, yes, to ask him, but to plead with God, to pray for our lost, to be completely honest with God, to be true with God, to be sincere with God, and to tell him what's in our hearts. And beloved, like this prayer for my son, I mean, I can honestly tell you that I'm ashamed that I prayed, and there were times when I didn't believe my prayer. And so, beloved, that's one thing that I had to ask my God to forgive me for not believing for the very request that I was asking him. And God answered anyway. And after God saved my son, I was in Psalm 116. In that psalm, the psalmist writes, I love the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, I will call upon him as long as I live. Oh, beloved, prayer is the life of the Christian. It connects us to our Heavenly Father. Don't deprive yourself of probably the greatest privilege that you have is access to the throne of grace of your Heavenly Father. Don't deny yourself. Don't neglect. Don't forfeit that privilege that you have to go to your Heavenly Father. And listen, I'll tell you, it took time, and I guess I could use the word discipline to find my place there, but now it's like it's a place of hunger and desire. Beloved, I need that time of prayer. I must have it. And if I don't have it, if something happens and things go sideways, then I'm a mess. Spiritually. And so I need to go and find that place. I need to run and hide. And so I'll tell you, it's so important, beloved. When you pray, find your secret place. And when you find that place, pray to your Heavenly Father in secret. And your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Oh God, I pray that you would take the words of your unworthy servant, and I pray that you would help us all, Father, as we come to you. And Father, as we take upon us to call upon you, the high and lofty one which inhabits eternity. Father, as we come to your throne of grace, O God, you tell us in the book of Hebrews, we have a high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You can sympathize with us because you were in all points, Lord Jesus, tempted as we are, tried as we are, and yet without sin. And so therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, I'm confessing to you now that there's never a time when I am not in need. Oh God, would you please help us to live each moment of our lives in complete dependence upon you, oh God, in your mercy and grace. And I want to praise you, Father. And I thank you, Father, for this gathering. I thank you for these precious brothers. And I pray, Father, your richest blessing, and Father, that you'd reveal yourself to each one, Father, in your tender compassion and loving kindness. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You finished listening to message number one from the 2024 Men's Retreat. You can find the next three messages on IllBeHonest.com or on our Spotify account.